Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Richmond Webb. That's right, former Miami Dolphin offensive lineman. Richmond, first off, good morning. Happy New Year. And, man, I'll tell you what, 34-3 loss, not the taste I wanted to have in my mouth after that game. What a disappointing game for Dolphin fans to watch. And I'm assuming for you, too. I know you're a diehard Dolphin guy as well. But, man, that stunk, that Tennessee loss.
Yeah, good morning. Happy New Year to everybody. No question. After the way the season started off and then to turn it around, and we had just got in playoff contention, and then go and lose in that fashion, we just didn't play well. But I think that was the most disappointing thing is, you know, the margin of victory and all that. We just didn't play well. Even if we lost and it was a closer margin of victory, people would have been upset that, you know, maybe not as bad because, you know, we went 7 in a row, but, you know, it gets tough. But, yeah, we just didn't play well. So that was a tough one right there.
Yeah, and Richmond, it's funny, too, because somebody brought this up. I think it was either earlier this week or last week. On the show, if you're a kid, and when I say kid, because we're a little older than that, but if you're someone in your, you know, mid-30s or younger, you don't know Dolphin football outside of like 8-8 football almost every season, mediocre football. Yeah. I'm used to growing up with the Marino days. I didn't get to see, obviously, the 70s teams play and the 72 team play, but I grew up in the Marino heydays when it was in the early to mid-80s and the early to mid-90s, where every year we're talking about, oh, just I hope we could host a playoff game where we could beat the Bills this year at the end of the year and get to the Super Bowl. It is truly amazing what a fan base that's in their mid-30s or younger knows of the Dolphins compared to somebody who's older like me.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point you've been up. It's been a long time, but, you know, when I got there, that was the norm. You know, the playoffs, it was just like you said, you know, shooting for winning the division or, you know, even trying to play for home. That was the expectation. And, you know, playing under Coach Don Shula, you know, he had success for 4 or 5 decades consistently. And like you said, somebody that's 30 or younger, they hear about it, but you right. Don't want to hear about it. You want to experience it for yourself. So I know at times it can be real frustrating for those younger Dolphin fans. So I agree with you, but they've never had an opportunity to experience that. And it seems like we'll be headed in the right direction. And then they get teased a little bit, and then it's snatched away from them. And I think that's what's frustrating for them.
Yeah, it's like hitting that speed bump and not being able to get over it, kind of. And that's what this team has been like for, like, the last, I don't know, 2 decades almost, it seems like. We've had a lot of guests on in the last couple weeks, even couple months. And obviously we talk about the offensive line and the young guys on the offensive line, and hopefully they'll get better. And week to week we always criticize or talk about the guys. But I got to ask you this, as someone who played on the offensive line from day one of when you got in the NFL playing on that offensive line, you got drafted and you just got plugged in right away and you had to start at left tackle. How important is an offensive line coach to a young player or a guy that's been in the league 5 or 6 years or even one of the older players? But how important is that offensive line coach to the development of the offensive line year in and year out?
Very important. You know, when I got there, John Sandusky was my offensive line coach. He had played in the NFL, played for the Cleveland Browns, but he was considered one of the best in the business at that time. And, you know, with me coming from Texas A&M and Keith Sims coming from Iowa State, you know, back then, you know, people don't even know about this, but unless you watch, I think it's Army or Navy, but, you know, we were a heavily option run team, and everybody's spread formations pretty much just that. So the game has changed, but, you know, coming to Miami where we knew we had to protect Marino, I had to learn a two-point stance. And he worked with me during mini camp and, you know, through the summer and stuff like that to get me prepared. And then we got a ton of reps in the preseason games and this and that because that's what we were brought there for, was we were brought there to protect Marino and let him continue to do, you know, the things that he did. You know, he was really ahead of his time. You know, most teams were more run dominant back then, but we threw the football all the time. And it was understandably so when you got a talent like Dan Marino. But he definitely helped in my development and accelerated, you know, me making a lot of mistakes, this and that, the communication factor, what to look for, you know, the seven veterans that you're going to play against, what they're going to try against you, and just learning how to study film. And then when we practice and stuff, just working on techniques, paying attention to the little things that, you know, hey, Richmond, you might want to do this, or you know, square your feet up, this and that. All those little things come into play, you know, at the NFL, because it doesn't get any tougher than that. And it doesn't matter. It's always a guy over there that you got to play against that, you know, he's pretty good. So offensive line is not only offensive line, but your coaching staff is very, very important. But I think it's magnified because we know, I think even at the beginning of the season, that was a question mark, and it kind of got masked when we went on the winning streak, but we definitely got to improve the offensive line play.
Yeah, well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you. What did you think this season, development-wise, of young guys like Eichenberg and Austin Jackson? Robert Hunt, obviously, made the transition from right tackle to right guard. It looked like he did a pretty good job there this season when he got graded out. But the other guys in the offensive line, from what you saw from day one, from an outsider, watching the games, knowing the positions, did you think the offensive line got better throughout the year? Do you think some of the young guys, you know, because I understand you got to take your hits, you know, to get better, especially as a young guy, to kind of learn the positions more. But after all the movement there was in training camp, and then all of a sudden everyone was kind of set in their position, did you see some improvement from some of those guys now through, what, 16 games going into game 17?
I saw some improvement, but I think what's more important is consistency. And I think the issue was, it seemed like on different plays, it would be a different breakdown by a different guy in a lot of the games, if you just kind of go back. So I never really tried to point the finger at, you know, one guy, this and that, but if you just watch the offensive line, on this play, it might be this position. On the next following play, it might be this position. So you're going to have bad plays, but when they come that often or that frequent, you can't get into a rhythm. So overall, as a group, they got to play consistently better. And I think that's one of the things that got masked. And the second half of the season, it seemed like we started going with the RPO, the run pass option, and Tua was getting the ball out really quick. So since he wasn't getting hit as much or sacked, it may seem like, you know, they were improving, but we got to play a lot better than that if we're going to be a playoff team. I'll just be honest with you.
All right. No, I totally agree with you there. Now, with the offensive line play the way it was and the way the guys were hurt on offense, we went games without, you know, obviously Will Fuller didn't play in a lot of games. Devontae Parker was hurt for a bunch. Like, they never were at full strength. Even at the running back position, they had, you know, games this year where guys missed. Can you give a fair assessment to Tua after what you saw this year from everything in general? Like, because there's going to be a big decision that's got to be made, and I'm sure it's going to come in the offseason, whether Tua is the guy going forward. And that's something that Chris Greer, Brian Flores, management, everyone has to make. But the way that you saw everything, did he get a fair shot to get a fair assessment of his season the way you saw him play?
you know, I've been saying this all season and on podcasts with a couple guys called Fence Side the NFL. And you go back to before the season started, nothing was, you know, if you're going to win in this league, you know, it's done in the trenches. And that's up front, offensive line, defensive line. And that was my question mark. And I think, and I said it this week, a couple people asked me on Twitter, I said, you know, in order to evaluate Tua, I think you got to give him, you know, a decent off. It doesn't have to be the best in the league, but you got to give him a decent offensive line
right.
to truly evaluate him. You know, and whether they do that or not, I don't know. But, you know, even the other factors you brought up, you know, at the wide receiver position, we had a bunch of guys in and out, this and that. All that affects everything. And, you know, even with the running back position. So the thing that I look at is, I think Chris Greer, Coach Flores, I think everybody understands the areas that truly need to be addressed. Defensively, I think we're pretty in really, really good position. If we just fix a couple things on offense, I don't think we're that far away. The key is once you fix them is keeping guys healthy so you can have them, you know, the longevity of the season rather than, you know, you start out hot and in 3 or 4 games, you lose guys at this position and, you know, they don't come back. That really disrupts things. So, I think we know what needs to be addressed, the areas, and just keeping guys healthy on the field. And I understand COVID and stuff. That's something I never had to deal with, but it does affect, you know, I guess this is a new norm or whatever, but,
right.
But just keeping guys ready and available that, you know, you can go out there and compete on a more consistent basis. Cause like you said, the wide receiver position, I know we lost Fuller, Parker. Well, Fuller's been out the majority of the season, but
right.
you know,
yep.
Parker finally came back. That plays a huge part in it.
What about Jalen Waddle? What do you think about Jalen Waddle this year? Nice rookie season from a guy. Picked 6th overall, so there's expectations all around him, but I think he did a pretty good job considering the fact that going into the season, we thought maybe he'd be the number 2 or number 3 wide receiver on the team with Will Fuller and DeVante Parker if they both were playing. Instead, he ended up being the number 1 guy basically all season long. How do you think he played and his season as a rookie?
Yep. Like, you know, catching 90-something balls, I thought he's had an excellent season. I got to get him to teach me that Waddle dance, you know. little unknown fact, I actually played with his older cousin at Texas A&M, so we talked all
right?
the time.
Wow.
Is that right? That he played well, but I don't think we actually got to utilize him a lot of times. Like you said, if he was the second guy with Fuller Parker, it's things that I saw him do at Alabama that we really couldn't, you know, since he was the number 1 guy, we couldn't exploit or try things with him because a guy that fast and that explosive, and you put the ball in his hands, he could make some plays. So, but I thought he had a real good rookie season. Yeah, him, Holland, and Phillips. I mean, the top 3, I have no complaints about them.
Yeah, there was a nice draft after the 2020 draft. And we all have question marks about that. Richmond, I appreciate your time, man. This was a great conversation. I hope we can do this again soon. You know, I bring you on because you're the, in my mind, the offensive line guru. So whatever you say about the offensive line, that's what I'm going with at this point. You're my guy. You're one of my favorite follows on social media, and it's always nice to see you on there. We'll bug you again soon. I really appreciate it. I hope the family's doing well. And again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'll talk to you later. Thank you, sir.
All right. That was the great Richmond Webb joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Let's take a break. We'll switch gears a little bit, talk a little NBA with the Hoops critic, Brian Geltzeiler.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Next. All right, we're going to jump back out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline and talk to our buddy Brian Geltzeiler, the founder of HoopsCritic.com. You can hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio, also see him on NBA TV. Geltzy, Happy New Year. Welcome to the new NBA, right? Every night I feel like I'm seeing guys either I haven't seen in a couple years or all of a sudden have been called up for 10-day contracts that are coming out of retirement. We're living in a weird NBA world right now.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Zach. And yeah, it is. It's a weird NBA world. It's different than anything we've ever seen. The hardship rules they've put in place are functioning exactly how they should. And it's tough because you're watching players, coaches, all this COVID kind of overtake the league. With that said, probably the largest wave that we're going to see, we've seen already. And so a lot of guys are coming back, lineup's starting to look a little more normal. But the silver lining in this is seeing guys get chances to be back in the league that were out of the league and coming in and doing pretty good jobs. And then the other thing that's interesting is the quality of certain programs, player development programs. You know, organizational depth has become more important this year in the NBA than any year that we've ever seen. And teams that have it in the face of all this have been able to keep their heads above water, and teams that don't have really, really struggled.
Yeah, and I would bring up the Heat to start off, but I got to start off with this. Kyrie Irving back in the back to playing last night. What'd you think of the debut of him back now with the Brooklyn Nets, and what does that do for the Nets going forward at this point?
Well, first of all, the Nets have a problem, and the problem the Nets have is that to get to the point where they've gotten to, which is right now in second place in the Eastern Conference at 24-12, to get to that point, they've had to play Kevin Durant and James Harden an enormous amount of minutes, so much more than they've wanted to. And Steve Nash is the kind of coach with his superstars that he takes his cues from them. Those guys have wanted to play. They've felt good. They've wanted to play these minutes, and Nash just let them play these minutes. But you're going to reach a certain point in time here as we get into the second half of the season where the possibility comes that either of them or both of them can wear down a little bit. And, you know, where it's thinnest, it tears, Zach. So what you could see happen here is one of these guys get, you know, some kind of injury because they're a little bit fatigued. What Kyrie's return in road games does, it allows them to load manage Durant and Harden, not only in minutes during games, but to completely sit either of them in certain points in time and still have realistic chances to win basketball games because you have Kyrie Irving back. The other thing, obviously, it does is that Brooklyn is in much better. This team is built to have Kyrie Irving on the floor. And you saw it last night. They played a horrible first half. Their defense was awful. In the second half, they turned it all up on both ends of the floor, especially offensively, and they were unstoppable.
And that's who they can be. And Irving was amazing in that fourth quarter last night. So you're going to get all that. Plus, I will also say this. If you listen to his post-game comments, and with Kyrie, you got to listen closely. He didn't say that he's not going to get vaccinated between now and the playoffs. He was noncommittal about it. He pretty much said, I'm taking it one day at a time. Let's see if we can come to some kind of settlement. Let's see if some rules can maybe get changed that allow me to play in road games. But he said, I'm taking it one day at a time. And pretty much said, I'm not ruling anything out, which I thought should be music to Nets fans' ears. He did, you know, his stance was a much harder stance before the season began than it is right now. So we got to see what happens with him. But and the other thing is that the basketball fan in me just love watching him play. It's like it's poetry watching this guy in the basketball court. It's so gorgeous to watch, and I enjoyed the hell out of that as well.
Brian, I agree with you, by the way, on Kyrie. I think he's one of the most exciting players in the NBA to watch. Hands down, he's as far as just pure skill, he's right up there with the best. Let me jump into the Heat stuff with you, though. And last night there were some ejections, there was some pushing, some slapping or whatever we saw last night. Any suspensions coming, do you think, from the Heat Portland little brush up last night? Or can we just say, hey, this happened in Portland really late at night and no one saw it and just move forward here because we're short on bodies?
Well, Danny, it's never no one saw it. Everybody always sees it. So that'll be, you know, I think the one guy that you could see draw a one-game suspension is Nurkic, just because he was a little overly aggressive with all that last night. But, you know, listen, in talking about the Heat here, I've mentioned organizational depth. They're one of the best examples of it because you watch what happened to them last night. Listen, Yurtseven has been terrific for them. He's played great. And, you know, another 16 rebounds last night. What they've done with Caleb Martin, who is a very good athlete, but you look at how his shooting has progressed year over year. That's been absolutely terrific. Listen, they targeted Max Strus in the draft as a guy that they felt like they could develop. And look at him, 25 points last night, 7 of 13 from 3. They're getting a lot from these guys that no one really put any value on, that they plucked off the scrap heap and developed them and made them, you know, do it their way. Even a guy like Chris Silva has been in and out of that organization, gives you 10 minutes of productive play last night. You talk about organizational depth. The Heat right now, 24-15. Butler's missed a ton of time. Bam Adebayo has missed a ton of time. They're doing it. We haven't seen Markieff Morris since the Jokic incident. They're doing it, and I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors because it's not smoke and mirrors. It's because they know how to develop players. They find guys that they think can fit their program, and they work them to a point where they're viable rotation players, and guys work hard and improve. This is, you know, player development has been highlighted this year more than any other year because of this situation, and Miami shining, they're shining with that because ultimately, you know, this type of periods of time with Butler out and Adebayo out, when playoff time comes, that's less mileage on these guys' legs to be a little bit fresher then. And if you've managed to keep your head above water in this long regular season with your main players out, that only helps you come the postseason.
I think a couple of years back, and we could even go back a decade, maybe even a little longer, we'd say the best program in the NBA when it comes to developing guys or finding guys had to be Popovich and the Spurs. That's taken a turn right for the Heat. I mean, I understand what they went through, and they had that unbelievable run where they went 4 out of 7 years, the championships and they were the team to beat for a while, the Spurs team. But the way that Riley, Spoelstra, the coaching staff, the training staff, that everyone's put together, this is the team now right around the NBA that just – is the team known for developing guys, or am I just biased because I'm down here in Miami?
No, I think they're one of. I think, you know, there's like, you have to look at the Warriors as well. I mean, what they've done here with Jordan Poole has been absolutely outstanding. You're watching Gary Payton II, you know, who's been to a bunch of different stops around the league. He ends up landing there and doing a heck of a job for them. A guy like Juan Toscano-Anderson has done a great job for them. So I think you have to look at the Warriors. They're another team you have to look at, the Clippers. Look at what the Clippers went into Brooklyn over the weekend, okay? No Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George, no Marcus Morris, no Ivica Zubac, and they beat the Nets on a fourth-quarter charge with guys like Amir Coffey and Terrence Mann making plays in the fourth quarter. You know, that's the same kind of example. So, yes, Miami is absolutely right up there at the top of the heap. But I think we got to be fair about it. They're not the only one. You know, listen, even a team like Denver that loses to Utah last night, but you look at Denver here, they're, you know, they're keeping their heads above water without two guys that represent over half their salary cap. And again, Michael Porter's extension hasn't kicked in yet, but you look at the money he's going to make next year, look at how much Jamal Murray makes. They're without their two of their three best players, and again, they have the MVP of the league last year, which certainly helps, but they're hanging in. They're another team that's built a lot of organizational depth. So there's other examples here, but to your point, Zach, yes, it's the Heat are certainly right there in that top group of the teams with the best organizational depth in the league.
Brian, we talked about Zion Williamson a little bit earlier in the show today. We just brought him up a little during the headlines, and he continues his rehab here. I know he's away from the team. He's out in Portland. What is going on with Zion Williamson? Does he want out of New Orleans? Is that what this is all about? Or is he like actually rehabbing from something? Or is there something bigger going on here? Because he's been out for a while.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play this year. I'd be very surprised if he plays this year. I think there's a couple things at play with him going to Portland. He's not happy in New Orleans. That's a very badly kept secret. Whether he's able to manufacture his way out is an entirely different argument, and that's going to be a much harder thing for him to do because they're going to throw a ton of money in front of him, even if he doesn't play this year. They're going to throw a ton of money in front of him for an extension that he's going to have no choice but to sign. And for the Pelicans, the future of basketball in New Orleans is largely dependent upon Zion Williams staying there. Otherwise, that may be a team that moves. That is the least, that has the lowest TV revenue, that market, generates the lowest amount of TV revenue of any market in the league. And you have that combined with the fact that the team's not all that good. They've played better lately. The team's not all that good. They're doing poorly from an attendance standpoint. So they need a draw like Zion Williamson. The thing with him going to Portland here, and, you know, you got to connect the dots a little bit. He's a Jordan brand guy, which is related to Nike, and Nike's based out there. They're concerned enough right now with Zion putting on weight and not necessarily being in condition that, A, they want Zion out of the public eye in New Orleans. They don't want these videos surfacing or these pictures on Twitter of Zion in a velour sweatsuit looking like he has just been sitting on his couch eating everything in sight, which is what's happened. The other thing is they want him to be able to rehab kind of in anonymity to get him back to where they want to get him back to, just to bring him back into some kind of semblance of shape. And him going to Portland means that the sneaker company that represents him and threw a ton of money at him is concerned enough that they want to witness some of this. They want to watch and make sure that they have a hand in this because they got a huge investment in him as well as the Pelicans having a huge investment in him. So there's a lot of different things at play. I would doubt that we're going to see Zion Williamson this year. I'd also doubt that he's going to be traded. I think for the Pelicans, there's no matter what happens here for Zion, especially off a year where he's not going to play, this is one of those Bill Simmons of the Ringer calls these two dimes for a quarter trades. You're never going to get the right value. And if the Pelicans, after having to trade Anthony Davis a few years back, have to throw in the towel on Zion Williamson here, I just don't know how viable NBA basketball remains in the city of New Orleans.
Best story in the NBA, Chicago Bulls, Zach LaVine. Like, that, is that the best story right now in the NBA?
Yeah, but I'm going to correct you. It's the Chicago Bulls and DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan's an MVP candidate. DeMar DeRozan has been that good. You saw him do something earlier this week on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day that we've never seen in the history of the league. A guy won games on buzzer-beating shots. Same guy, back-to-back nights.
Right,
absolutely incredible. Right. In Indiana and in Washington, he has been unreal. And, yes, Zach LaVine's a heck of a player. And Zach LaVine's kind of falling under the radar for the job that he's doing. He's a great offensive player. But he's an example of what the Olympic experience can do for a particular player. He's been really good defensively this year, and he has been by all metrics for the majority of his career one of the worst defensive players in the league. He is now not bad. He's not great, but he's been much better, and he's been good there. And they've needed him to be good there. They're a top 10 defensive team in the league, and I thought they were going to be atrocious defensively. And DeRozan, for all of his heroics, and is a fantastic player, and has had an unbelievable year for the Bulls this year. The bottom line is he's not a great defensive player, so they've managed to have a really good defense and still be a team that's meshed really, really well. But DeRozan is the story there. DeMar DeRozan's been absolutely amazing. He'll be an all-star there. LaVine will probably be an all-star too. The question becomes for them, can they get stops in the playoffs when push comes to shove. You know, the Nets and the Bucks are still two of the top three, four teams in the league. And for the Bulls, this one seed now looms really, really important, because if you get the one seed to go to an NBA final, you're only going to have to go through one of the Nets or the Bucks. That's a big deal. Now, with that said, you also, a healthy Heat team is a major, major challenge for the Bulls as well. And you can certainly put them in the category of being the fourth type of team. And we can't stop with the Sixers. We have to keep an eye on them as well, because they've now won five in a row. And if the Sixers end up making a meaningful trade for Ben Simmons at the deadline and upgrade that roster, they, with the way Embiid has played, they could be catapulted into that group too. So it's crowded with a lot of, you know, very, very good teams at the top of the Eastern Conference.
My mind is totally brainwashed with Zach LaVine. I was staring at a picture of DeMar DeRozan, and I said, Zach LaVine, that's amazing. What just happened to my brain right there? It's guilty. I'm telling you, I'm staring at the biggest picture of DeRozan you can see on my computer right now, and I still spit out Zach LaVine. It's unbelievable. Guilty. I know. I'm laughing at myself at that point. Guilty, it's always great talking to you. Happy New Year. We'll bug you again soon, and hopefully we'll get to the point where we're talking about the NBA teams at full strength when it gets closer to the playoffs, instead of having so many other players. Even though it's a good story having guys come back, it's better for the NBA when we have all the stars and everything aligned at that point. Guilty, thanks as always, buddy.
Always my pleasure, Zach. Always my pleasure, Danny. And send my regards to Joe to feel better soon.
We will. We promise we will. That is Brian Geltzeiler, thanks, founder Brian. Of Hoops Critic. Hear him on NBA, Sirius NBA Radio. See him on NBA TV. He's all over the place at that point. Good friend of the show as well. All right, let's take some text messages when we get back. 305-567-0560. The text machine is wide open for this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Last segment. We'll wrap things up right after this.
Hey, very good morning, and welcome back to the Joe Rose Show. Zach in Hollywood, in for Joe here, and Zach, I have no catchy music here for the market report here this morning.
Just glad it's not bleak music. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I lost so much money yesterday. I'm not even in the mood to joke about this thing here.
Sorry to laugh.
It's time for a look at the opening bell on Wall Street, sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. And so far, things are hanging in there, I suppose. It's slightly green to start the morning here, but
as long as it's not blood red, I'm okay with it at this point.
Well, yeah, but it's early, so
I know,
things
are
right
this
really,
second.
Really
right.
Bad right. In the stock market here, especially for the growth stocks have just been taking an absolute beating here. It'd be crypto, by the way. I know you're a crypto guy. That thing I saw took quite the pounding yesterday and into today as well. So
did you say the last 2 months, or did you say yesterday? Because the last 2 months has taken a bit of a pounding.
Let's buy and hold, guys. No more selling. Like, selling is, you know, it's for the weak, Zach.
Yeah, well, I have no choice at this point. I'm so invested. There is no getting rid of anything at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Point.
I'm the same way. All my gambling stocks and everything, there's no turning back for me at this point. So.
No.
I'm either going to go, we're going to take over the world with these things, and sports betting will be a thing, or it won't be a thing. I tend to lean towards the side of sports betting will be a thing moving forward here.
I just want to wake up one morning and have my app back. It's where I could, you know, whether it's the Hard Rock app or another app that I could start making some wagers on again.
Yeah, I know. That really sucked, man. Like, what a tease to give you the app for a little bit. I mean, listen, I don't know the politics of the whole gambling thing. I will vote for whatever I need to get the gambling app back. That's all that I know. I don't know all the politics behind it, Zach, but I think the Hard Rock might have jumped the gun a little bit, and I know there was some litigation or whatever, but I appreciated the sneak preview. It's a very nice app. I mean,
what a hell of a tease, though.
Woo! I think you just reactivate it and just hope nobody notices, kind of like they did the first time, but...
I'm not sure that's a good business plan, but I like where you're going there. Yeah,
as I'm watching here, I gotta close. I'm closing this market deal here because everything I have is turning red once again. Texas says Geltzeiler does not believe in the Heat.
No, what do you mean? I asked him about the Bulls being the best story in the NBA, and then he talked about the fact that that the Bulls, if they get that number one seed, would only have to face Brooklyn or Milwaukee, one of those two teams to get into the finals, but they'd have to run into the Heat. Like a healthy Heat team right now, I think, when I say healthy, I mean everyone back and all teams being healthy. But if the Heat were at full strength, I kind of like them in almost any series in the East. I don't know if they could beat in a seven-game series the Brooklyn Nets or maybe even the Bucks at this point. I think they could beat the Bulls. But man, I don't think the Bucks or the Nets or even the Bulls right now at full strength want a Heat team at full strength at this point. Look how good they're playing without being at full strength, without Bam and Jimmy. They're playing pretty good. Not great, but pretty good.
I think the Heat at full strength are as good as any team in the Eastern Conference. I said that before the season. I'll say that now. Now, that is a gigantic if.
Right.
Zach, look, besides the COVID stuff, Miami's having trouble just staying healthy.
Right.
Jimmy Butler is out right now. Bam is obviously still out. So they're having a tough enough time just staying healthy, with the COVID stuff aside. But I do think that the Heat will be in this thing when it's all said and done. I think they're an Eastern Conference Finals team. And can they get past a Milwaukee or a Brooklyn or one of those teams? I think it'd be a hell of a series. I really do. I think the Heat are deep
fun to watch, right? Yeah.
Where they can certainly give one of these teams a run for their money. Texter also says Pelicans and Magic always lose their stars. Yeah, I can't see Zion Williamson wanting to stay in New Orleans there, and that franchise really does. I mean, it sucks for lack of a better word. There, it's just like I don't know what you do if you're a market like that. And, you know, look, Milwaukee has been able to keep Giannis. They've been able to keep Chris Middleton there. So they've been able to do a nice job. But I don't know, Zach. I don't see that Pelicans franchise, like, turning the corner here.
Well, and, I just would think, and you brought up the Bucks, which is a great, kind of example to use here. I would think that if you told an NBA player, an NFL player, or anyone in sports right now, you have the choice to go to Milwaukee or New Orleans, they're going to pick New Orleans. I think they would, because it's a better city probably to live in and more, whatever, if you're a young dude. But I'll tell you what, if you're a Pelicans fan, like our boy All Day in the other room, Dan Day All Day, it sucks what he's gone through as a Pelicans fan from the time this franchise got birthed into the NBA until now. You had, Anthony Davis, he wanted out. You got Zion, he's probably going to want out. It goes through the process we always talk about. You draft a guy, and hopefully in the NBA, you get him for 4 or 5 years, and then he's gone. And that's what's happening in New Orleans right now.
All right, so we've been all over the place today, Zach. A lot of basketball talk, and one more congratulations to the Miami Hurricanes, who pulled off a phenomenal win yesterday at the Watsco Center, beating Syracuse by one. You know what I forgot to mention, by the way? Do you know what the spread was on that game yesterday? Because someone texted me right after the game ended. Miami's up 4. Isaiah Wong hits a free throw at the end of the game, and Miami's up 4. Guy from Syracuse drives down the court, shoots a runner 3 at the horn.
Right.
It counts, and it ends up being a 1-point Miami win. The spread was 2.
Oh, my God.
The spread was 2. So that shot actually changed the outcome of the betting outcome of the game.
Wow.
Which I didn't know at the time, but it was like, Isaiah Wong had to hit one of those 2 free throws to make it a 2-possession game. He hits. He misses the first. He makes the second. The guy goes down, hits the three, of course. Would have had an overtime situation if he missed both free throws. But it was a two-point spread.
That's a tough way to lose, or a great way to win, no matter what side you were on that bet right there. But, ooh, that's you don't think these guys in Vegas know what they're talking about, by the way, somehow, some way?
They're always
right. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
That's why they have the big buildings, and you and I only own a little slice of the building.
I have my Diet Mountain Dew in a can sitting in a closet. Right, exactly.
Finally here, Zach, tomorrow will be a football Friday. We're going to get very football intensive with you on football Friday. And a texter from the 239 asks, can Tua do anything on Sunday to convince the naysayers, or has his book been written? It would be a worthy opponent who need a win for seeding. Zach, I don't think anything that Tua does on Sunday is going to change anyone's opinion. I know for me personally, it won't. Whatever happens on Sunday happens on Sunday. It has absolutely no impact on my opinion, because here's the thing. If you wanted to change my opinion on Tua, last Sunday was the opportunity to do that. You had to win against the Titans. You laid a gigantic, typical Dolphin egg in that game, and that was really the opportunity. I mean, if you really wanted to change the narrative on Tua, that was – really the opportunity there. And Zach, we'll have a long offseason to discuss what's going to happen here. General manager, head coach, quarterback, offensive line, it's all kind of on the chopping block here, right?
Everything is up for grabs come this offseason. The only thing Tua could do in this game is put together a good game and have that be the last thing you saw of him before the offseason. Matt Collins, I think, said it yesterday in the press conference. What does it mean to play well in this game this Sunday? It's the last thing you get to think about or look on tape for 6 to 8 months. That's the best thing Tua could do. He puts up a stinker, and that's the last thing we see out of him for the next 6 months. It's going to be a long offseason.
All right, that is going to do it for us. Jonathan Zaslow and All Day are next here on WQAM. We will talk to you tomorrow. It'll be a Football Friday here on the Joe Rose Show. Until then, have a great rest of your day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.